good day. I'm excited about church this morning. I'm going to start a new series called New Beginnings. New Beginnings. This morning, I want to talk to you about the willingness to be made again. The willingness to be made again, to be made new, to be reshaped. Did you know that God never will trespass your will? He will never, never make you serve him. And sometimes there has to be a shift, a paradigm shift in our thinking to become a servant, to put the towel over your arm and wait for God to ask you to do something. If you're used to being in charge, this message is for you. If you're the boss, this message is for you. If you are the one that works for somebody, this message is for you. This message is for everybody who wants to be a part of the kingdom of God, the willingness to be made again. Not everybody embraces new beginnings. Not everybody is comfortable with something new. The way you're looking at me. There's a guy an older guy, and his wife passed away, and they had the funeral, and while they were carrying her out in the casket bumped the corner on the wall, and they heard a moan in the casket. They opened up the casket, and sure enough, she wasn't dead. And so they got her out. She lived 10 more years, and she passed away. And they had the funeral for her in the same church. And just as they was walking out with the casket, the husband hollered at him, "Watch out for that wall." Not everybody wants new beginnings. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 1. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 1. Talking about the potter and how that God is the potter, and that we are the clay, and as he molds us and shapes us, it's an interesting concept that God showed to Jeremiah here in chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at a wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make." It says he made... The clay was marred, and some versions say that it was spoiled or it didn't turn out the way he wanted. Something went wrong in the hand of the potter, so he made it into another vessel that seemed good for him to make. When I was a young man, I used to train horses for a living, just broke and trained a lot of horses, and I got a little pattern down breaking those horses, because most horses don't like, it's not, most horses, they just want to do what they want to do. And they don't appreciate the fact that you want to get on their back. And especially the first time, right out of the very first time you get on them. I mean, it's just kind of like they're not having it. And so I developed a little process. I had a round pin, and I'd run them around in that round pin, and I'd get them pretty tired. And after I get them tired, then I put a saddle on them, and then I tie their head around to that back cinch, and I spin them around one direction. And then I turn their head around, and I tie it to the other cinch, and I spin them around that other direction. And I'd spin them pretty fast, and by about the time they get a little bit dizzy, I just get on them. And then I just go to, like, around that round pin, running around that round pin. They didn't hardly even know I was up there to start with because they was dizzy. They were tired. They was like, oh, what now? And they submitted, listen to me, they submitted a lot easier when I got them tired and dizzy. Because they weren't thinking about what they wanted. They were thinking about survival and just getting through the day. This was a day that they had not planned on. Something happened in their day. And it was like, what is this? And then they begin to get okay with me getting on their back because they the thoughts about what they wanted weren't near as prevalent in their mind because they found out that it was easier to submit to the master than it was for them to get their own way. God is no ordinary potter. God has a plan, and in the New Living Translation, it puts it this way, but the jar he was making didn't turn out as he hoped. Sometimes I ask myself the question, did I turn out the way he hoped for me to turn out? Now, it doesn't really matter what everybody else says about the way we turn out. What really matters is, what does he say? Because you can look very, very successful from my eyes, but from God's eyes, are we what he planned for us to be, what he determined? Is his purpose happening right now in our lives? That's the question. Because God does have a will. God does have a plan. God does have a purpose for each and every one of us. When you're in the hands of a loving God, he gives you an opportunity to start over again. How many can say thank you? He gives you an opportunity to start over again. He makes it possible for us to experience new beginnings. God is not an ordinary potter. This was what God wanted Jeremiah to understand, that was why he sent Jeremiah to the potter's house. If what God had shown Jeremiah was clay in the hands of another person, not a potter, what Jeremiah would have seen would have been a completely different thing. We understand from verse 4, listen to this, that while the pot was in the hands of the potter, it was marred, it got spoiled, it didn't turn out well. While it was in the hands of the potter, this tells me that just because you are a born-again Christian, just because I'm a born-again Christian doesn't mean that I have my destination in my membership at the church in my hip pocket. If I walk down the aisle, I can do whatever I want to do. What he's saying here is that we can be in church and we can have Jesus in our heart, but still not turn out the way he wants us to. There's a fallacy that the world looks at when they look at people who are born again Christians. They think that we're all supposed to be perfect. Well, you're a Christian. I thought you went to church. And then we get in church and we go to Growth Track. We go to Digging Deep. We get in a life group and we begin to get involved in church and we find a place to serve. And then all of the things down deep inside of us that never surfaced before when we were set at home doing this, running that clicker, you know what? The only one you're going to offend while you're running the clicker is a person watching TV with you. But you get in the service of the King, those impurities are going to come out. And the things that are inside of you are going to come out. That's why church is messy. Well, I don't like that. I'm just not growing at that church. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. Listen, church is messy. When you sign up for church, you're signing up to get in the hands of the potter and allow him to mold you and to shape you. And sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it's painful. But when he produces what he planned to produce, then we are at peace with ourselves. We are at peace with our spouse. We are at peace with our children. We are at peace with our God because we submitted and it turned out the way he wanted it to turn out. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, the scripture I read to you earlier, says, "Do not remember the former things." Anybody have any hurts in your past? Anybody have anybody you're still mad at? Don't raise your hand. It's okay. Anybody have enemies? Anybody have somebody at work that just gets under your skin? Sometimes we have to forget those things on a daily basis. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Don't consider the things of old. Too many times we live in the past. And I'll say this. If we got any old people here, it's easier to live in the past than it is to look forward to the future. A lot of times I get around old people, because I am one, but I get around old people and all they want to do is talk about what happened in the past. And then they want to talk about it again and repeat it again. And you know, it's like, oh. And you see, if we live in the past, we will live in the past. And he's saying here, forget the former things. Really, what he's talking about is the offenses as much as anything, but he's also talking about what we accomplished in our past. Because too many times we have our identity in what we have accomplished in the past instead of what God wants to accomplish in us now in the present. Some of the greatest workers in the kingdom of God should be retired people. And all the retired people said, amen. Because really, if you're retired, I don't think retirement's in the Bible, by the way. So what we do, retire from work and we go to work for God. But really, honestly, when we're at work, we should be working for God. Amen. It's a good sermon so far, I think. The more history, I just need a few more hours with you and we'll get it. The more history you have in your life, the more tempting it is to look back and consider the things of old. The more history you have in your life, the more attractive it is to look back. And the offenses, the pains, the heartache, the hurts, it's saying, let it go. Can you say, let it go? Say it one more time. Let it go. Sometimes you just got to let it go. He's saying, let it go. Don't consider those things of old. It's imperative that we see all our activities and investments through the lens of God's will, that none should perish. The investments that we have that God has ordained is the investment for people who are single, who are looking for a spouse, to allow God to have his way in your future and to have him direct your path. Whenever you're a parent, to have God direct your path on how to raise your children and teach them about the ways of God so that they, when they're old, they won't depart from it. Whenever you have a spouse, it's imperative that we make investments in that spouse, because today is the day. Today is the day. Amen. Instead of looking back and saying, oh, it was so good in the past, let me tell you something. Please consider what I'm just about to tell you. Your best days are ahead of you. They're not behind you. They're ahead of you. And if you will believe this, and let go of the things that have drugged you down year after year after year, you will have a great year this next year if you will allow the former things to be the former things and allow the God of the present direct your future. Amen. Let it go. God cannot and will not do a new thing until you let go of some of the old things. God's will is to recreate. God's will is to recreate. God is all about life. God's patient plan to create a vessel of honor is always his priority. Starting over requires a lot of patience. Thank you. Starting over requires a lot of patience. People say, listen to me, people say, don't ever pray for patience because you don't know what's going to happen then. Let me tell you something. If patience is a virtue, why wouldn't you pray for patience? A lie from the enemy of your soul is not to pray for patience. Aren't you glad you come to church? Starting over takes patience. I thought you know what? I'm going to ask Brian if I can get up here and play this steel guitar. Wouldn't that be cool if Randy Weaver could play this steel guitar? That'd be so cool. But I can't just get up here and play this steel. This is one of the most difficult instruments there is ever to play right here, because you got these little things, move your knees. It's just hard. You can't just get up here and play the steel guitar. You know what it takes? Patience. Endurance, discipline, a teachable spirit, a humble heart. You got to have a lot of the virtues of life that change your life if you want to play the steel guitar. The virtues that God has for you, one of the greatest virtues is a humble heart, because when you have a humble heart, you will allow anybody that speaks wisdom to teach you about yourself. Sometimes a small child can tell you more about yourself than anybody else. You can learn from children. Most of us have a very low tolerance for the weakness and faults and mistakes of others. When people are not performing up to our expectations, we begin to boil over and flare up. If God flared up at us the same way we do at others, most of us, most or all of us, would be dead by now. And we've been being consumed by the wrath of God. Aren't you glad that God isn't like you? I don't believe I said that. But I'm glad he's not. I mean, as much as we have the attributes of God, we're still under construction. Amen. Lamentations 3:22, it says, it tells us that it is because of the Lord's great love that we are not consumed, for his compassions will never fail. There's some weaknesses that in life that we a lot of times can't tolerate. Many of us can't stand people who are slow or lazy or fearful or indecisive or people who are arrogant or blunt or bossy. Did I cover about all of them? Some of them things just bug the fire out of you. When I was reading it, I got convicted, because every one of those things, sometimes I got a little of that in me, all them things. And I dare say you may have, I mean, with all due respect, you may have some of this stuff in you. Let me just read it again. Slow, lazy, fearful, indecisive, arrogant, blunt, or bossy. The very thing that I hate in other people is the very thing that I am at times. And if I want patience, and if I want forgiveness, and if I want God to love me the way I am, I have to love everybody else the way they are. God's creation must value what God values. God could have thrown us all out. He has the power and the authority to do that. When items in our home or our office get spoiled, damaged, broken, or rotten, what do we do to them? Throw them out. We throw them away and put them aside and abandon them, dump them somewhere in the store or the backyard or the barn. As far as we're concerned, they really aren't desirable or useful. Then there are some who see value in older things and in worn things and in discarded things. We're gonna sell our place, sell our house. We kind of do that sometimes, and we're gonna build a house again. And a while back, Darla needed to get away, and so she went to New Orleans, and she came back with some doors and like chandeliers and stuff that went through Katrina, of houses that went through Katrina. It was stuff that, like if I would have seen it, I was like. Then Darla was like, and I was really afraid to ask what she paid for it, honestly. Because there are those who value the worn and the discarded. Darla has always wanted an old house. I said, oh, baby, you don't want an old house. Let's just get a new house and make it look old. Aren't you glad that God values us old people? Aren't you glad that God values young people, people with their whole lives ahead of them? Aren't you glad that God values you at the stage of life that you're in? I'm glad that when everybody else saw a shepherd boy in David, God looked at that shepherd boy and he saw a king. when God looks at you, he probably doesn't see you the way you see yourself. Aren't you thankful when God sees you? He sees a son and a daughter, and he loves you, has compassion for you. So thankful for that. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 40:28, "Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth? Neither faints or is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases in strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Those that wait upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:61 says this, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Who is he going to exalt? Those who submit to the potter, those who submit to him, those who have a teachable spirit, those who put away the old things, that pattern of life that said, "This is enough, and I won't go past this line for you, God. I'll go up to this line, but I'll not pass that line." Did you know that God may want to do something new in you? No, God does want to do something new in you. And his mercies are new every morning. Because his mercies are new, we can walk out and we can say, "God," and this is my challenge for you today, to ask God, "What is the new thing that you have for me?" Not comparing yourself to others, because you remember what happened. I just got to quit. You know what happened to Lot's wife? You remember that? Lot's wife, God told him, Sodom and Gomorrah, God told him, don't look back. She looked back, and she's like, oh, she longed for that old lifestyle, that old life that she had, and she looked back, because it wasn't that she looked back, it was what was in her heart, the reason that she looked back. The reason she looked back was because, oh, that was fun to have all that, to do all that. Let me tell you something. Sin is fun for a little bit. It's fun, just enough fun to deceive you into thinking that it's worth it. But when we look back at our past in a longing way, we can't look forward, because you can't look back and forward at the same time. It don't happen. Darn, and I was at the racetrack, at the horse racetrack, and we were just like, oh, Lord, please do a new thing. We're tired of this. It was a hard job for us. And God moved us up to Montgomery, and we was doing church services on Monday nights, different places all over this area. And I was good with that. And God spoke to our hearts, and he said, "I want you to start doing church on Sunday morning." I didn't sign up for Sunday morning, Lord. I just want a Monday night, because I got a rope on a weekend. And I can do church services at them rope and stuff. You know I can do a good thing someplace else besides having church on Sunday. Did you ever try to play "let's make a deal with God"? Don't be looking so holy on me out there. Now, every one of y'all. Nope, we're in church on Sunday. Well, we're having church on Sunday. Then we got this property, and we're down in the tent. I want you to build this building, and we go. It's like, Lord, we got too many people. Can't handle them. Better back up here. That's enough. No, we got it. Everybody needs to go to heaven, so we're going to bring more people here. How many know God wants to do a new thing, and sometimes it's uncomfortable? And then when we moved up in the building, we were so thankful. And you would not believe, some of y'all may be here this morning, I apologize for what I'm fixing to say, but there's a lot of people, they say, oh, Pastor, I sure miss that tent. Oh, it was hot in the summertime and cold in the wintertime. But there was an intrigue, and the Holy Spirit was there. But the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit goes with you wherever you go. It's not about the tent. It's not about this building. It's about your heart, and your body is the temple. It's about you taking God with you and allowing Him to be the potter and to mold you or shape you into the person that He created you to be. And sometimes He needs to recreate you, because if you have a piece of pottery, if it has an impurity in it after it's all made and everything, when you put it in the fire, in the kiln, if there's impurity in it, it will break. Why? It couldn't take the heat. Everybody in this building, everybody watching online, I guarantee you there's been times when we've broke up because we couldn't take the heat. There's times I've hollered out at God and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. Anybody with me? And then He said, come back to the potter's wheel. Let me have you. He makes you over again. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We worship you this morning. Thank you, Father God. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. This morning, if you've never invited Christ to come into your heart, that's the first step, is submitting to the potter. The only way that we'll get to heaven is by giving our will to Him. That's what baptism's all about. That's what being born again is all about, is saying, God, I give you my will. If you've never invited Him into your heart, or maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for Him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. Preacher, that's me. Anybody? Would you stand with me, please? How many have something in your life you got to let it go? Raise your hand if you got to let it go. You got to let it go. If somebody, there's bugs of fire out of you, and you got to love them like Jesus. Everybody say, let it go. Somebody in here is a workaholic. It's messing up your relationship with your wife or your family. Everybody say, let it go. We could go on down the line. We're not going to do that. But when you turn loose of the former things, let Him do a new thing. It's not enough just to focus on the negative things. Amen. Let Him do the new thing. How many say, preacher, I want Him to do a new thing in me this year? I want a new thing in me. I'll submit to what. Raise your hand if you'll submit to everything that God has for you. Raise your hand if you're willing to do that. Now listen, if you can't raise your hand, that's fine. I get that, because I mean, I'd rather you not raise your hand and be honest than raise your hand and not be honest. Because I love it that you're here today. I want to pray for everybody here. Lord, I pray for everybody, Lord, to raise their hand. Everybody that didn't raise their hand. Lord, is this process that we have of life that you've called us to, that you'll help us, Lord, to understand the value of submitting our lives to the Creator and allowing you to recreate in us, or to create in us, that new life that brings peace and prosperity of the soul, and prosperity of friendship, prosperity even of finances, because we submitted to you. We learned how to be faithful to you. Thank you, Lord, for your word in us. We love you, Jesus. Go with us today. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in everything we do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We have our prayer team if you need special prayer. We love y'all. God bless y'all. Hey, have a happy new year.